Morgan, we have another exciting segment of Reclaiming History. I have a very special guest on the line today. We're going to talk to Rabbi Matthew Cutler. He is a local rabbi in the local area, and we're going to talk about a special Jewish holiday that's right around the corner. Rabbi, thank you for joining us on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary.
Well, thank you so very much. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, for my listeners, tell my listeners about yourself. Like, where do you worship? What do you do at your synagogue? How many folks do you have there? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I've been the rabbi of Congregation Gates of Heaven in Schenectady, New York, for the better part of 24 years. It is a congregation of about 400-plus families, which means there's probably around 1,000 or so people that will come for the major Jewish holidays. My job is the chief spiritual officer, teacher of Torah, worker with kids, community organizer, and all-around nice guy.
So, the Gate of Heaven is the name of your synagogue.
Yeah, it's a bizarre name. Wow. Actually, the name of the congregation is about 165 years old, and
okay.
It was founded by German immigrants. And we originally went by the Hebrew name Shaarei Shamayim, which literally means the Gates of Heaven, which is where Jacob has his dream of the ladder reaching to the very Gates of Heaven. But if you know anything about German, you know that the Y sound in German is written with the letter J. And so for a long time, we were Congregation Shaarei Shamayim, and people were mispronouncing it. So about 100 years ago, this congregation officially adopted the English name.
Excellent. So, you know, the holiday, tell my listeners the actual name of this holiday and what is so significant about this holiday.
Well, the holiday's name is Purim, and it's celebrated on the 14th day of the Hebrew month of Adar, which corresponds to March 20th and March 21st. And this is a holiday to celebrate that you're alive. It's a festive holiday. Very similar to Mardi Gras and Carnival that was a couple of weeks ago in the Christian traditions. This is a chance to celebrate. And, you know, when I came across a little bit flippant in my initial responses about what my job is and our congregation, it's because I'm in a festive mood. This is the time that we're celebrating being alive. The custom is to read the Book of Esther, the Megillat Esther in Hebrew, and to dress up in costume and to pretend you're something that you're not, to become a king or a queen or a prince or a police officer or a cowboy or whatever, just to celebrate that you're the joys of being alive. It's a very, very festive holiday.
So tell my listeners a little bit about the story of Esther.
Well, so the story takes place in the kingdom in Persia called Shushan, which we don't think really, you know, might not have actually historically existed. And according to this, the king named King Ahasuerus had a new bride by the name of Esther, who was secretly Jewish. His previous wife, Vashti, was banned from the kingdom when she refused to submit to his authority, the king's authority, and to be something that she was very uncomfortable doing. And Esther became the new queen. The prime minister of the story was the wicked man named Haman. Now, Haman wanted all the people to bow down to him. And Mordecai, who's the hero of the story, who also happens to be Queen Esther's uncle, refused to submit to Haman's authority and bow down. And this made Haman very, very angry. And he then proceeded to demand that all Jews be executed on the 13th day or the 14th day of Adar. And so the story goes that Mordecai petitioned his niece Esther, who revealed her true identity to her husband, the king, and the pendulum swung the other way, and Haman hung for gallows that he built for a different purpose. Him and his sons were all executed instead of the Jewish people.
Well, you know, that's very interesting. I love the story of Haman because he's the bad guy that gets his comeuppance. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He plotted to kill the Jews, and he ends up hanging on the gallows. And so people who are religious know the story. They know it from the book of Esther, the biblical account of the story of Esther. But tell me a little bit about this funny hat, because, you know, I love those Haman cookies. Every time I go into the supermarket and I see those, I have to have them. They're so great.
So the custom is that you're supposed to blot out any memory of Haman. When you hear his name, you make noise. You would write, you know, in Morocco, for example, they would write Haman's name on the bottom of their shoes and shuffle around the dirt to get rid of the name on the bottom of their feet. They would do anything. And one of the things that they would do, and it was common in Europe, was to eat his hat. The term Hamantaschen, which is the name of the cookie, means Haman's hat, and it was developed around 17th, 18th century when we had the fashion attire was the three-corner hat. So the custom is you take a three-cornered cookie and you fill it in with something sweet like jams or, you know, like apricot or raspberry or prune or with poppy seeds, and you celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
We eat the cookie. It's a way to get rid of the memory of Haman.
So, you know, for my history buffs out there, you know, the name of this segment is Reclaiming History. I always wonder, is there evidence that this is a true story? And were the Jews ever in Persia? Were they ever in what I think would be current day Iran, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, that you're correct. There has been no archaeological evidence to discover a place called Shushan. However, the story probably comes in and around the time of King Cyrus of Persia. King Cyrus was seen in the Jewish eyes, in Jewish history's eyes, as a really good guy for our people. Now, he was a bit of a despot. He was a bit of a, maniacal, cruel soul. However, he sacked the Babylonian Empire. Now, in 586 BCE, the Babylonians, under King Nebuchadnezzar, sacked the city of Jerusalem, including the temple that used to be there as the center of Jewish life. If you control the temple, you control the people. And what Nebuchadnezzar did was destroyed it and carted off the leadership. It was pretty, there was a lot of atrocities going on that day. It was not a very pleasant experience. However, about 70-some-odd years later, King Cyrus sacked Nebuchadnezzar and permitted the Jews who were living in exile to return back to Jerusalem and reclaim their ancient land.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been very supportive of King Cyrus's persona, and we attribute this story to that era, that time. And there's all this Jewish folklore that, you know, somehow King Cyrus was a grandson, a great-grandson, a great-great-grandson of the marriage of King Ahasuerus and Queen Esther.
Let me ask this question. Were the Jews ever in Persia? Is there evidence that Jews were ever in Iran?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Jews were during the Commonwealth of Jerusalem, when there was an independent entity, sort of, in which the temple stood. The period had a great deal of influence worldwide. We know that King mm-hmm. Solomon built deep water ports in Greece, for example. We know that there were strong Jewish communities in Alexandria in Egypt. Up in Mesopotamia, was no question that there were Jewish enclaves up there, and as well as into Persia. In fact, fast forward several thousand years, when the Shah of Iran was deposed by the Ayatollah Khomeini and his followers, there was a mass exodus of Jews that left Iran and came to the United States in the greater New York area. There was a very affluent and significant population of Iranian Jews that came to this country in and around 1980.
So, you know, when I think of Jewish holidays, you know, I have a Jewish friend of mine, and he sort of jokes about Jewish holidays, and he said most Jewish holidays, and this is him speaking, he said most Jewish holidays go this way. They tried to kill us. They failed. Let's eat. And that's sort of his take on Jewish holidays, that the Jewish people were being persecuted and attacked, and God saved them, and then they celebrate.
This holiday represents that statement to the T. It is the absolute perfect way to describe it. However, your friend left off one important message of Purim. Not only are you supposed to eat, you're supposed to drink alcohol. This is the day to celebrate to being alive. This is the day to celebrate that they didn't come to get us. And there is a part of Jewish tradition that says on Purim, you're supposed to have, you know, drink so you don't know the difference between the good guy and the bad guy. This is time to celebrate, to be alive. Yes, they came to get us. King Ahasuerus, Prime Minister, Haman wanted to destroy the Jews. He wanted to get rid of them. And we fought back. Our ancestors fought back and won.
Well, Rabbi Matthew Cutler, thank you so much for giving us such a great overview of an important holiday. It reminds all of us that we need to take time to just, as you say, celebrate being alive and celebrate life.
You bet. And it's going to be an important one to celebrate. And we invite everybody to share in the joy of being alive this week.
This is Lavonia Mallory, and this has been another episode of Reclaiming History with Rabbi Matthew Cutler.